Hello, friends. Oh.
Thank you, Jim.
I don't know if I'll get sued for copyright infringement or not, but we welcome a fast-paced program today. I don't know if you heard any of Mateo just before our friend, the executive concierge from Oceania. Mateo was on talking
he
about...
He was on the Big Ten cruise with you.
But let me...
Oh, I think you blocked me for that.
Oh, I didn't mean to. I apologize. It's the one sport you didn't call. let me be professional. And welcome to the program from CBS Sports, Hall of Fame broadcaster, and our good friend, Vern Lundquist. And Dottie, do introductions. I think the last time was
just... Yeah, we were all here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe.
I don't think we were. John, you know, from the last time you were with us, and BJ Odom is a 40-year radio veteran, radio industry veteran, and he's been a friend of Tom's. Tom and him did radio years ago, and John and I go back 30 plus years on the NCL ships, mostly the SS Norway.
And the last
I'm the short hitter here. I got 10 years.
And the last time you were on, I don't think Dottie was with us.
No, I wasn't here. I was on mic, but not on camera.
Right.
Well, thank you. This is our 100th episode. And I reached out to Vern yesterday, very last minute, and said, would you mind? Because I know you were a little busy over the weekend broadcasting number 37. 37th broadcast. Am I correct? 37?
36.
Ah, 36.
Don't make me older than I feel.
They actually, Mr. Nance mentioned that, and I remember he asked you about what it was like to be connected with Tiger on the call at 16, and you said it was good for your resume. And Jim Nance said, and it's quite a resume because
you got him down well, Tom.
You have to talk very soft.
You do a little golf whisper.
So welcome, good to see you, buddy. How was the week? How was it without
long? Very, very gratifying, though. The fact that they were able to hold the Masters in the midst of everything that's gone on in 2020, it's quite remarkable. Yeah. And logistically, to get it to pull it all together, it was very well done by the Masters, and I must say by CBS. The challenges were pretty profound, and we do 4 satellite broadcasts of the Masters, different elements. There's one satellite called Featured Pairings, one DirecTV thing called Featured Pairings, separate trucks, separate producers, separate director, separate announce staff. That all goes for everything else. We have feature groups, Amen Corner, 15 and 16, and then there's something else, but all of that must be coordinated. All of that requires a separate truck, production truck, and then we've got the live broadcast, and this was Lance Barrow's 44th and final broadcast as producer. And all of us who've worked, I've worked with Lance since 83, and there was a sense of sadness and quietness, because he should be celebrated for what he's accomplished. Sure. And he had to go out in the middle of a pandemic.
How many cameras this time?
57, I think. And it's amazing to see how this works. Okay. And if it works well, you sit at home and say, okay, there are 13, I think I'll nod off. Sunday afternoons at a golf tournament are great nap weather.
Somebody actually said that. Jimmy was at the house over the weekend, Jim and Judy, Jim Lorden, who you know, and he said, I love golf. I turn it on right to sleep. We didn't, though. We watched everything. But I asked this question out loud on Sunday with all those cameras. I have been lucky enough to be in a broadcast truck at CBS, and there are a lot of screens up there. Is it still Steve Milton?
Yes, it is. And Steve will,
Is he still going to 50 screens?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. 57. There's a bank in front of him. It is so complicated and so challenging. And those guys in the those are split second decisions.
Yeah, they are.
And they've got to decide. Now, they have help. they've got the IFB in there, interrupt frequency broadcast. That's a little device we all wear in our ears. I'm thinking back all of a sudden, the first time I ever worked with Dan Fouts, which is 25 years ago. And Dan, they take guys who accomplish things in their sports and put them in a broadcast booth with no instruction, no help. Okay, have at it, pal. You're going to be brilliant. And they said to Dan, okay, put on your IFBs and get over in the corner for the on camera. And Dan said, what is an IFB? And you can make up, it's an acronym for whatever you desire, but it's a little thing to put in your ear. And he's got, Steve Milton's got help from, you know, we've got so-and-so going on at 14. They're hitting their third shots at 15, that kind of thing.
And he has to decide, actually, all those people are pitching their own cameras kind of in a way, and he has to decide which one he thinks is worth going to. That's all spinning it at the same
time. And Tom and Dottie, I know I've shared with you the very memorable shot of Tiger on 16 in 2005, and there was a lot made of that this year.
I know.
and as there should be, because it's one of the more remarkable shots in Masters history. But you remember the story about Steve when the ball came up like this and went down like that and sat on the lip of the cup for 1.8 seconds. We put a stopwatch on it. Yeah. And Nike got a lot of additional unexpected exposure. But at that second, Steve said, take camera 6. He was on 10, hypothetically. 6 is over here. And it's got a tight shot of Tiger's face for the reaction. Take 6, because that would have shown his disappointment and frustration. And our technical director, Norm Patterson, who is the guy, the late Norm Patterson, is the guy responsible for actually pushing this, instinctively did not take 6. He stayed with 10, and that's why we all saw the ball drop.
And I will tell you that Steve Milton's stealing your thunder. Did you see the piece they ran with him talking about it?
No.
CBS ran a piece with Steve Milton talking about that shot and talking about Norm Patterson, and they cut away and showed a picture of Norm Patterson. Vern talks about this in his lecture on the ship, speaks on the ship, and he's got the clip, and he tells the story behind the scenes, which is that technically you're supposed to do what the director tells you. You know,
And CBS, it's not technically, it's mandatory.
And CBS is not allowed free. Yeah. And he just went against the direct, but Steve didn't mention that in the interview. He turned to Norm. He said, I turned to Norm and said, I can't believe we didn't get it. And Norm said, no, we got it. He goes, we did? So he didn't mention the fact that.
When did this run, Tom?
It ran during the Masters.
For God's sakes.
Yeah. In one of the packages that. And I'm thinking, that's Vern's story. You stop talking. That's Vern's story. So,
it's appropriate somebody stole from me because I steal from everybody else.
And for the non-golf fans, it's a great moment about television because Tiger Woods, you know, he's in an impossible situation where he is, right? He's way off the green and he's not.
Oh, yeah.
And out of nowhere, he chips it in, which they do all the time. Even this weekend, these people are chipping it in left and right, and John Rahm skipping the ball over a lake and gets a hole in one.
Was that not the most incredible thing you've ever seen?
Not fair. It's just not fair.
Up and around, yeah.
Was CBS rooting for Dustin Johnson to take it all the way once Tiger didn't go anywhere? Because it was a good story, correct?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know if any of you saw Amanda Baliones's interview with DJ.
Yeah, Brian.
Oh, and she's a really wonderfully gifted young lady. And I sent her a text. I didn't see it till I got home late Sunday night, very late Sunday night. And we turned the Golf Channel on and they had it and were allowed to use it. And I was touched by Dustin. He doesn't allow the world into his personality at all. Yeah. And I think because of that, he has been perceived as a robot. And he felt open. He allowed himself to open up a little bit. It was quite moving.
And I would, a couple of things, again, I'll address the non-golf fans. Dustin Johnson won the Masters. Dustin Johnson, I don't know that he's married to Wayne Gretzky's daughter, but they have two children together, Paulina. And John, of course, is a lifelong Islanders fan. So what do they call him? What do Islander fans call Gretzky?
The self-proclaimed great one. He never scored at the Coliseum. He had one assist in the whole reign of terror. They had his number, so when he was the great one, that was the big rumor in the Coliseum, the self-proclaimed great one.
I haven't told John this story, but this was on Twitter, which you're not a social media guy, and you're a smart man. But Janet Gretzky put up on Twitter a little nursery rhyme before the night before Sunday. She said, "'Twas the night before the Masters, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring. No, forget about it. Wayne's up pacing. He can't sleep at all. He was walking the floor, worried to death for his future son-in-law, I would imagine, the next day. And you think about that. Here's Wayne Gretzky here at the top, you know. And here's his future son-in-law, I guess, about to reach that same place. So that had to be a cool conversation to know that, you know, your soon to be wife, I would guess, is the great one. So I saw the interview with Amanda and I saw him crying, and you know, you realize how much it means to get so. And even
there was a wonderful story too about the low amateur, Andy Ogletree, who really played very, very well. And he told this in a pre tournament interview, and I happened to be watching it. And he said when he's in third grade, he wrote his teacher an essay. They are every student in the class. And he said his ambition in life was to become a good golfer, then to become a pro golfer, and to someday play with Tiger Woods. And he won the U.S. Amateur in 2019, and here he was for the first two rounds. And he equipped himself really well. So, and that's part of the reason I love to do what I've been doing forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
Would you pass the offering plate now?
well, are you doing 37?
Yeah. As far as I know.
Yeah.
Because I got through this one without uttering an obscenity on the broadcast. And that is always a major goal for everybody. No, I think so. And it's only 5 months away. And please, you know, vaccine is available. It's approved and becomes available. And life gives us a semblance of normality. And you guys all get to go back to sea. And we get to join you. And I can't wait.
Yeah,
I
know. That's another part of this. The last time Vern joined John and I, he was at home in Steamboat, and the sound was in and out. We really had issues with the sound. Now he's in Austin, and it's nice and clear. But we did talk about the fact that Vern and Nancy are avid cruisers.
Oh, God.
And we met many years
ago. I'll tell you when we met, Tom, 10 years ago, repositioning cruise from Hong Kong to Athens. And last night we watched the tape, and this will resonate with Tom and Dottie. No, it was a PBS tape on Nova on the history of Petra.
Petra.
Okay.
And these two wonderful friends of ours, Tom and Dottie, and Nancy and I joined forces early in that cruise and decided, well, we kind of liked each other. And so they said, have you ever been to Petra? And we said, no. And they said, you're going to be there with us. And they arranged for a car, and we went to Petra and just had a marvelous time. Remember, I couldn't walk and trying to get out of that. I hope you guys have been there.
I'm going to explain to BJ. The easiest way to describe it is it the Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah.
In the movie, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, that tomb it was filmed in Petra. That's the easiest way to remember. This is in
Treasure.
It's unbelievable. I'm not much for touring. unlike Bernie, who was a big time touring. But it's one of those, not seven ones in the world, but it's pretty amazing.
Oh, gosh. Well, we had a tour guide 25 years ago in Ephesus, which is a remarkably preserved city from biblical times. And we asked him, if you had a vacation, where would you go? And he said, Petra. So you two guys arranged that. And remember now, and we'll quit talking about me, us here, but. They said, well, we've hired a guide to take us to Wadi Rum. And we were in a Jeep driven by a 21-year-old kid named Muhammad. And his goal was to scare the death out of all of us. All four wheels off the sand dune as we came by.
Yeah, and again, Wadi Rum is a massive, massive desert. And the all-terrain vehicle that we had didn't really seat all of us. So I'm in the back in the bed, like in the bed of a small truck, laying down. And Bert is in the front seat. And they're specifically told by their bosses, do not do what he did, which is take it in the air. We came up, think of Lawrence of Arabia, those maps.
That's where this is. That's where we were.
Is that what? And we come, he comes up and over this.
He rode along the cliff or the hillside, and we couldn't see what was over there. And he's going, and then all of a sudden went down. We're like, oh!
And if I remember, the Hall of Famer was in the front seat with a camera, videotaping the whole thing. And those words that you can't say on CBS or the Masters might have been mentioned as we lifted. We're in the air, and I'm like, this is...
Yeah, we were.
Well, there was a two-word phrase, and the first word was holy.
How was the shocks on that vehicle, if I may ask?
Not very good. That's where my back problems really got exacerbated, right there.
You're right. I have to get a copy of that.
But that's okay, because the segue is about the fact that it's not all about in life. It's not all about sports. It's a lot about cruising. So, and we've had quite a few memories since then, including trying to get home, trying to get back to the ship in Venice when we couldn't get a water taxi at 11 o'clock at night.
You want to tell that, or you want me to?
You can tell that story. I don't care. We don't get to talk that often, so we might as well take care of it now.
Oh, that's right. And you guys get to eavesdrop on this intimate conversation.
Well, I said radio is at its best. It's like the old party line. You love to eavesdrop.
Yes. Well, the four of us were in Venice, and Nancy and I had recommended a restaurant that's a favorite of ours. And if you're in Venice and it's back to somewhat normal, go to the Antico Martini. It's in the plaza overlooking one of the great opera houses in the world. Yeah. And we had dinner there, and we lingered, and then we tried to get home. And you hope for a water taxi. And remember, we walked for an hour.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Went into a hotel lobby, and Tom tipped the guy behind the desk and tipped him nicely, I think.
So it was the Bauer, I think. It was the Bauer.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And the guy said, yada. And he said, he'll be here in 10 minutes. Yeah. And then it cost us $80 for a 5-minute ride.
So it was 180 each, was $160.
That's right.
Yeah. Italian, Italy.
He didn't point a gun at our heads. He just pointed over the side of the water taxi.
That's it. And then we got back to the ship and said, why don't you go to Horizons? We're awake. That's the way that goes. So the Masters, I mean, were the people there, not the patrons, but the members, upset about the 20 under? Or they accepted the fact that the weather didn't cooperate?
Well, that's really a relevant question.
I try.
Here's why I can provide a guess. I get out to the course. By the way, we were, because of that thunderstorm on Thursday, everything scheduled got out of whack. And we had to be at the golf course every morning at 7. I had more wake-up calls in the morning than I've had since basic training in 1965. It was, and I'm, as you know, I'm not an early riser.
Let me ask, I'm terrible at this, but another question that fits in there. I know that the CBS rents houses for everybody because of the, was it a problem with being in November and the pandemic?
No. It was a problem of observing the protocols.
Yeah.
And the protocols were pretty severe, and I think we all understood them. Excuse me. The old smoking bronchitis that never leaves you. Yeah. I quit smoking 20 years ago, and I still cough like crazy. Because they couldn't monitor our social distancing if we were in a home. So they put us all in a hotel, first time ever that I've been there. And it was okay, except we were essentially quarantined. I didn't see many people except at the golf. I never saw Nick Faldo all week long.
Wow.
I did see Nance. I guess I saw most everybody, but for that long. So it was different. We had to get tested before we could go out to the course. And then every morning there were protocols about temperature and ribbons and filling out anyway. Wow. It was okay, and we understood it. But the thing I was going to mention, Tom, is I've been at 16 now for 21 years. And I get out there, and I look, and instead of that traditional Sunday placement, which they've always put it there because they love when the ball hits the ridge and rolls down, and you've always got a chance of a hole-in-one. We've had 22 of them over the years. I get out there and the whole location is probably placed in the most difficult place on that hole. Top right on a plateau, almost impossible to get there. Some guys did. So I was asking some of our members of Augusta, or not a member, some of my colleagues on the telecast, like Faldo and Trevor Immelman and Ian Baker Finch, what do you think that's for? And their thought, nobody confirmed this, but well, we don't want to look ridiculous. So let's make this a difficult and challenging hole look, which it was.
Yeah.
And then Dustin Johnson just destroyed the place.
He really did.
And,
for all of the, again, I apologize to the non-golf fans.
Yeah.
For all of the hoopla about DeChambeau and Koepka and the bodybuilders and the lifters and the head speed and all that other. I miss Peter Costas telling us the revolution of the ball all the time. This guy, you know, Dustin Johnson's not a small person, but no, he's not cut like these guys. And all he kept doing was hitting it straight and hitting longer and straighter and longer and straighter. And
one of my favorite memories of this year is going to be forever that in the final round and in the final analysis, a 63-year-old Bernard Langer, who hits it off the tee 80 yards behind DeChambeau, beat him.
He was 3 under, I think, right?
Yeah, beat him.
Yeah.
And he beat DeChambeau by a stroke.
And DeChambeau, if I'm not mistaken, thought it had to do with the fact that he lost the ball. That happens when you hit it over there. It's too inside, but if there were patrons, that probably wouldn't have been a lost ball.
Well, that's right, Tom, because that they would have surrounded that green in that area, and somebody, and our guys on the air kept yelling, somebody tell them it's closer to the fairway. They were looking too far over.
Yeah.
And then Jim Nance got the story, and Jim is great at this. He hangs around after we're off the air, and he goes to the practice range or the putting green, and he gathers stories, and he found out then after the round was over that one of the marshals over there said, oh, here it is, and picked it up and showed it to Jim, but it was too late. DeChambeau was on the green, and
that was costly. Are you watching? By the way, if you don't know, Vern was the voice of the SEC for many, 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 many years. He created it. There was no SEC till Vern.
Come on.
And I still miss you. Nestler's okay, but you made Danielson sound better every day of the week. So, is Moulton still the spot?
Yes, yes.
David?
Now we should tell who David Moulton is. David is Gary's assistant in the booth. But he does so much more than that. David Moulton.
Yeah, six degrees of separation. BJ's son, Gentry Thomas, is an internet radio producer. He's partners with Shaquille O'Neal in Ventures and just took on Miller and Moulton to take them on the internet and make them somebody special. So Gentry and Moulton are connected. Of course, Gentry and BJ are connected, and that's why I wondered. And I guess BJ, it's working out, right? Your son's getting.
Yeah, they're getting. Yeah, it's the internet game is so much different. They're trying to, you know, it's all about the clicks, and they're just really working with Miller and Moulton and getting more people to listen and more clicks, and everybody's happy.
So I keep stepping on you, which you're the Hall of Famer and I'm the nobody.
I get out of here.
But the SEC, they get criticized for having a season, but at least they are having a season. And what did you think of Nick Saban? He tests positive and then negative, negative, negative. Private jet takes his test to a lab and he does the game. That's the power of the SEC. So it's pretty amazing.
Well, it's the power of Saban, at least, that's for sure. I have to share what I think is a fun story. It was last Thursday night. Eli Gold, and if you don't know, Eli is the voice of Alabama sports. He doesn't do basketball anymore, but he's just a wonderful friend, and he's done Alabama. He's a kid from Brooklyn. He went to Erasmus High School in Brooklyn. Okay. As did Al Davis, as did Billy Cunningham, but somehow he wound up in Birmingham, and he's now, anyway, Eli called me, he panicked because the game Saturday night with LSU was canceled. Can you be a guest on the Nick Saban radio show Thursday night? Sure, I can do that. Well, I forgot. I candidly forgot. Thank God I was in my room, but I was in my room talking with Dottie Pepper about that day's telecast. And I was telling her how good I thought she did. She's just a wonderful addition to our golf team. And so, and then the phone kept beeping and cut through it all. Finally, I got a message. They tried to contact me. I was late for my radio show with their radio show with Nick Saban. So I called back, and in the meantime, they were blocking my phone for some reason. And I was on the phone with Eli, and all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and I said, Eli, we're live. Can you just keep filling? He was about to tell a story about Bob Costas. And he says, can you keep filling for 20 seconds? I got to tell this fellow to go home. So I got up and walked over. Told him, yeah, we've got it covered. I got back on the phone, and I said, Eli, tell that story. And he said, okay, I was doing an interview with Costas, and he was late, and I couldn't get hold of him. And then finally, he called me back, and he said, Eli, I'm so sorry. I get out of the phone, out of the shower. I'm standing here in my towel. And I've got Dick Ebersol, my boss, on one phone line and you on the other. And my towel's about to drop. And so, but let's talk quickly. And I said, well, I can't do, I'm fully clothed. And I want everybody to know that. But in the meantime, I'm eating food out of a cardboard carton. That's what they give us every night.
Is that right?
So, and the fella who was producing sent me a text afterwards. He said, that was great radio.
There you go.
We got Saban in his garage, Byrne late eating out of a cardboard carton, and Bob Costas naked telling you it's so.
I'm sorry I missed it. I would have enjoyed every second.
You would have. Yeah.
Oh, there were no dinners?
None.
Nothing.
Oh, none. My. Like, and you remember, I mean, it's a social week. as we usually, we do a Wednesday night small get together. We do a Tuesday night big get together. That's gone. Wednesday night, just a small group of us have done it. It's a tradition like many. Thursday night is a sales dinner. Friday night is a big uppity thing that I get to MC because Nance. Kill for me, Tom.
That's okay. We don't have a kill button in this operation.
No, I don't have one. All I can do is ask. Well, good night. See ya.
I actually have a kill button, but you don't have a kill button.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Now, this is not the first year without Les Moonves, is it? No.
It's no. Several.
Okay, yeah. And everybody, all the CBS Mucky Muck showed up at the Masters. It was a giant.
Well, and that was the dinner I was about to mention. Jim Nance does the late night highlights. I mean, he is working as hard as anybody, Jim is, because they've got him running here and there and up and down. And so Friday for 15 years now, that's a CBS dinner in which we host selected members of Augusta National, selected sponsors, of whom there are four major sponsors and only those. And we do a highlight thing that's really well done and for them. And I MC it, but all of you guys are familiar with this. You just got to be on your toes. You can't say anything. Oops, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to go there.
Can't say body bags.
Yeah, no. No, and bikini wax is not to be mentioned either.
Either way.
Unless you've got Gary McCord saying he doesn't want to come back.
Yeah, well, there you go. Unless you want to leave that broadcast, you don't do it. Is this Immelman's first year?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes. And he's going to become very good, I think.
Yeah.
He's interesting now. I'll share this with you. The one occasion where we did Lance Barrow's office was Frank Turkinian's office.
Yeah.
And that's our hang place. And all of us who were on the air would get in there and swap stories and laugh. Oh my gosh. And this year I found myself, Lance and me, and we're both, he lives in Texas still. I wasn't born in Texas, but I grew up here. So Lance and the Norwegian Scandinavian Texan, moi, we're sitting there listening to Ian Baker Finch, New Zealand Open champion, Frank Novello, New Zealander, sheep shearer extraordinaire, and a really accomplished golfer. And I'm sitting next to Trevor Immelman, South Africa, Masters champion. And I thought, who would ever grow up dreaming of this? It really crossed my mind. What an experience. Yeah, and except, so few of us ever get to experience something like that.
But except they were sitting there saying, I can't believe I'm sitting with Vern Lundquist. Tom Rinaldi, I thought he was going to run over and kiss you on the forehead. Tom Rinaldi from ESPN interviewed Vern about 16 and the call on Tiger and just being there for 36 years, not 37, but with such reverence. It's just fun to watch. And did that require a papal dispensation, or that was? It still did. Okay. All
right. Oh yeah. They didn't call and say, come on over to the ESPN studio and tape this. I said, okay. But first you have to A, B, C, D, E, F. Yeah. And they got to G and it was G whiz. Let's do it.
Yeah,
it was an honor. I'll tell you what, Tom, to be asked to be, that's a very, and I heard from everybody, the list of texts I received from appearing on that show was unbelievable. And guys who were really, I got texts from Tirico and Jack Buck and Joe Buck, rather. I would love to hear from his dad.
Yeah, that would be interesting. But again, I'll fill in the blanks. ESPN College Game Day was at the Masters. That'll tell you how unusual this year is, that College Game Day went to a golf tournament, because I guess, well, it was planned pretty far in advance, but even then, it's kind of unusual. Of course, again, they're little kids in a candy store sitting at the on the par three course at Augusta. These are accomplished athletes and broadcasters, and they go there like little kids in the toy store, because they're at Augusta, and that's where they broadcast from. And as part of that, they interviewed the great one here, the self-proclaimed.
I think you should warn him how many texts you'll probably get from doing this show.
Oh, he'll be back.
Three.
Yeah.
We have a magician that comes on every Wednesday and does just crazy pictures and different things. And he had one Wednesday done a whole series of stupid tricks, people tricks. And of course, the whole time we're like, oh, ooh. And the following week, Tom showed the Saturday Night Live clip.
Oh, gosh.
When they impersonated you from the Olympics, and you were,
because every time Mike would show a picture, I'd go, oh, because you'd heard from the person. And I go, all I hear is that clip. You know, where Jason Priestley has fallen down.
Hilarious.
And what's his name is going,
Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hartman played me and Carvey played Scott, and both of them nailed both of us.
Yeah, it was. That's right. Yeah. That which reminds me, you didn't do front row this year then.
No, we did not. We had to postpone it along with so much else in our lives. We're going to do it now. The postponed version will be held next May. Mm-hmm. And this for you guys is a fundraiser for my alma mater. We're Texas Lutheran University, Division III, so non-scholarship athletic program. And this is a conversation that I hold with invited friends. And over the years, we've had stellar athletes, Archie Manning, Charles Barkley, David Faraday, memorably. I heard from Faraday last week, memorably, and will not go there on this program because I want to keep your PG rating.
No, it's okay, but we won't have to work. But it's a great story. I love it. Bird told me the story. David, kind enough to do this 1 hour. Is it black tie?
No. But it's, it's student tie.
Yeah, Texas Lutheran. And so he reminded David, who's a crazy Irishman, it's Texas Lutheran. Let's try to keep the language family friendly. But it didn't work out. And if I remember right, the president of the university thought it was quite humorous that you were.
Yeah, yeah. I said, and we're not going down the rabbit hole here. But I did. I've got a photo that somebody took of Nancy and David and me 10 minutes before we walked in to do the event. And I had just told him, David, please keep in mind your audience. Yeah. And he knew what I was going for. And he said, what's your point? And I said, David, please don't use the F word. And he said, okay, I'll try. Well, we got 30 minutes into the conversation and the F word popped out. And my knees began to tremble. I thought, oh, dear God. And I looked into the audience, and the president of the university was doubled over. He was laughing so hard.
Well, I believe the ex-wife was involved in that sentence. And so
yes. And her mission in life was something to do with every man in Tarrant County.
Exactly. You're our only real star celebrity. The closest we come to is that BJ's son Gentry was able to get this liner for us.
Yo, what's poppin'? This is Shaq Diesel. You're listening to the Really Big Broadcast, almost as big as me, with my main man BJ the DJ.
There you go. That's it. That's our one big celebrity liner we have in the program.
I love it.
Well, we're over time. I texted Vern and said, do you have a few minutes? And I stretched that to 40. I do that a lot. It could be longer. Nancy's well?
Nancy is very well. Yeah.
And we always
we're in Austin for another 2 weeks. We head back to Steamboat Springs, Colorado for Christmas.
Oh boy.
Which will be a measured Christmas party. We're going to have one. Normally, I think you know, Tommy, we do, and it's a tradition like many others. We do get friends in our, I should lower my voice. It's a tradition.
I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
Golf fans know.
Yeah. And anyway, we're going to be home, and then we'll be back here in January in Austin. We've got some postponed events that we're going to try and fit in after the first of the year, but everything's up in the air right now. And,
John, that's your son's hometown, right?
Yeah, my son lives there. So go visit him for me. Yeah.
John
my son lives in Austin.
What part of town do you know, John?
I'm not sure. I've been there, but I couldn't even tell you.
You have the restrictions like they do in New York, like no more than 10 people, 6 people, 8 people?
And the governor here has opened it up too early.
Yeah.
And then they had to close it back down. And now it's, they don't have any control anymore.
Houston's really bad right now.
Houston is terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Houston's really bad.
We have been the wild, wild west here for a long time. The Xanthus opened up a long time ago, and we seem to be holding our own compared to the other 49 states. But
John, yeah, because it's still warm here. You know what I mean?
That's why I wondered about Steamboat, whether they've small town and.
It's remarkable, I think. Now, our town is 14,000 people. It gets to 25,000 in the middle of the ski season in a normal year. It won't do that this year. And the county, which stretches from the Wyoming line down to Vail and then west to Utah, it's a fairly large county, but sparsely. It's not like Wyoming where, you're just naturally socially distanced by 6 miles.
Those open areas like North Dakota, they're having problems.
Oh gosh, in South Dakota, yeah. It's in our county, since this thing began and our first detection of the virus in Broward County, where I live, was in March, 2 Australians, skiers, and diagnosed, hospitalized for a night, and then went sent home. We've had since middle of March only 9 deaths.
Wow.
Which is pretty remarkable. So
yeah, and like you said, hopefully the vaccines are coming down the pipe, and it'll take a while. Frank Del Rio in an article said that 2021 will be a restart year. The whole year will be a restart
transition.
Year. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel that the industry will be fully up and running until 2022. We're here. Dottie has actually a Zoom meeting on Thursday with Pam for more information, but they're looking at these trial runs, but not until mid or end of January, these tests.
I'm sure you guys saw what happened to Sea Dream in Barbados.
And I said, it's interesting because it ran in Norway all summer without an issue.
Mm-hmm. 21 cruises without an issue.
And suddenly here we are in the warm weather, warmer than Norway. And suddenly 7 cases, but they don't operate under the same rules. They're less than 250 guests, so they don't have to. The CDC says you're do what you want. It's weird. Over 250, then it becomes the CDC issue, so to speak. So there are different reports about what happened, mask, no mask. It was sold, I guess, as a cruise where you wouldn't have to wear a mask, and that was why the people booked it. Because they wouldn't have to wear a mask, but
wow.
You look at the
test. Do you and Dottie have any definite back to work plan?
Yeah, no, not yet.
So
maybe we'll hear something Thursday, but nothing right now.
And I don't think it'll be me for a while. I think guest entertainers are going to be an afterthought in the beginning because I would stay on, they would want me, but otherwise the on and off testing and everything else. They're bringing the production shows on, and they'll carry most of the load because that staff stays on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see.
We do know, you have any cruises planned, Vern?
Yeah, I'm booked in something that all of you probably seen five times more often than I have, but I'm doing an SEC reunion cruise on Regatta in familiar cruising territory for us.
Alaska.
In Alaska. A decision on that by Go Next, I am told, will be made in January. So that's on hold, as it should.
Yeah, we're actually trying to get John on, John Weeks from Go Next. Now, Jennifer Boha came on from the Aggies, from the Travel.
Oh, sure. She was wonderful lady. Yeah.
And she's a big fan and watches the show. So she also arranged for one of the Panama Canal captains will join us Thursday to tell us all about what it's like to take one of those big ships through the canal and not try to bang into the side and that good stuff. And she also reached out to John Weeks. Is Weeks, right? Am I John?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. Said you need to go on the show because our listeners and viewers are all cruisers. And they also are people that hate Go Next, but that's okay too. They all hate when they.
That was Tom Drake that said that, by the way.
There you go. So we look forward to that. So that's Regatta in July.
Regatta in late June.
Late June.
10-day or 11-day, something like that.
Yeah, that
will be... leaving out of Vancouver and returning to Seattle.
That we'll see. The Go Next is a college alumni agency that does tremendous cruises, great work. We did a Big Ten cruise. Got to have dinner with Archie Griffin and Clark.
And Clark Kellogg, yes. Clark Kellogg. Yeah.
And Bobby, linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, Bobby Bell.
Bobby Bell. Was a great cruise.
Yeah.
Well, we could reminisce all day, but.
Hello from Bill and Karen Pollack. They're two of our most traveled guests. They haven't seen you for a while, but they send their regards.
That's very nice. Yeah. And you do the same back for me, please.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad you're all well. And BJ, do you have any more? BJ doesn't know anything about golf. And you've never called
that. The windmill always got me. I just could never get it to the daggone windmill.
I used to aim for the clown's mouth.
Hey, you get that hole in one, you got a free game. I got all excited. Exactly.
Did you ever? That's interesting because John is a huge hockey fan, but you've never called hockey.
No.
BJ is a NASCAR fan and never had any.
Yeah, I'm 0-2.
Yeah, but I'm a big basketball. How about basketball? I'm a big basketball.
Basketball. Yeah.
Oh, for everybody. Oh, tell me who it is that took you to get Hugo Boss suits. Chuck Daly.
Chuck Daly. Oh, my gosh.
I love this.
I worked for 1 year with the late Chuck Daly. He was the head coach of the Detroit Pistons and then coached the United States Olympic team, the Dream Team in Barcelona with Barkley and Michael Jordan and Chuck is one of, we all miss him greatly. And he lived in retirement down in Jupiter. There's a whole enclave. I heard from basketball guys this week too. I heard Billy Cunningham, a former partner of mine. I got a call from Bill Raftery, who's going to be our front row guest. And then Tom Izzo checked in with me. Wow. And I said, I've hit the triumvirate now. You know? The holy of holies. And we all talked about Chuck because we all knew him and loved him. But I was working with him 1 year. Gosh, it's been 25 years ago now. And we were in Cleveland. And he said, after we have lunch and before we have to go to practice, I'm going to take you to Hugo Boss. And they have some kind of an outlet store. And Daly, I signed in as his guest. And we got everything for 10% of the list price. I think I still have one of those suits, but I can't fit into it.
I got those too, as a matter of fact.
And Chuck said, here's a bit of advice from a Hall of Fame coach. And I said, I'm listening. He said, you can never look bad in a blue suit.
And I'll tell you what, he was sharp. He was a
sharp. One of the greatest hang guys ever.
Yeah, was that right?
Oh, boy. Now, yeah.
Speaking of that, if we're home in May, I'll finally get to come and come to a front row with Bill Raftery. That's going to be.
Oh, it's going to go. It's going to be in south of Austin in a resort community, 30 miles south of Austin. You won't pay a cent.
No, I don't worry about that. You know that. I'm not only missing cruising, I'm missing hanging with Vern. And Vern was given the Vin Scully Award by Fordham University. And so I had the opportunity to be there sitting at a table with Vern and Bill Raftery. And if you're not a basketball fan, college basketball, he is the legend. Yeah. And I haven't followed him since you retired, but more than one Emmy, right?
Yes, he won three in a row. Yeah. And for outstanding sports personality and a live broadcast, what is the category like that? That was the year. Tom, you were there. You and Dottie were. And I was given a Lifetime Achievement Award. So they had me sitting on the aisle so I could get access. I'm the only guy in the building who knew he was going to be honored that night. Everybody else, is this it? Is this the year? So Billy was, he's one of my best friends in forget basketball or sports broadcasting. He was sitting on the other side, and I was four rows behind Chris Collinsworth. And he wins this thing all the time. Yeah. And I'm sitting there and they call, and the Emmy goes to Bill Raftery. And so help me, I thrust my arms up in the air and I said, all right. And Collinsworth turned around. And if stairs could kill, I'd be
outside. Screw him. Hey, it's all about timing. Now that Doc Emmerich is retiring, play-by-play people might have a chance. You know, I mean, because he would the hockey guy, and that would drive me crazy because he does one sport, and Vern did 20, and you were doing three. You were doing basketball, and you were doing football, and you were doing golf, and he would do hockey, and he would win. Yeah.
Well, he knocked me back twice.
Yeah.
But he's now, you know, we in my view, they're good guys and bad guys. And there's some guys in the middle. But
I don't want to know where I am.
Yeah. Doc is one of the all-time good guys.
That's good to hear.
And self-effacing and studies his butt off and is prepared. He's kind of Tom Rinaldi, who did the interview on Game Day, is a really brilliant writer. And Mike Emmerich would be if he ever tried to apply himself that way.
Yeah, but now maybe he'll have time now. Speaking of, how's the book sales?
Here's my life. I published had a book published in 2017, and we've discussed this. I tried to come up with something witty for the title, and the editor, this was Harper Collins, the editor said, no, we got a title for it, and it's called Play by Play. And I said, boy, that's scintillating. That's a real grabber, you know. People look like, oh, really? I've got to have that. And I said, and by the way, his name was Mike, I think. And he's in my forgotten dustbin. And I said, my wife is not nuts about the photo you've chosen because I'm not smiling. A small, selfish thing. And he said, well, tell your wife I'm sorry, but that's the photo we're going to use.
Man.
And I thought, oh, okay, that's the way this is going to work.
Wow.
And then I'm being somewhat facetious about this, but and then, gosh almighty, this lady named Michelle Obama published her book
same week. Same week. There.
And I do remember this, honest to gosh. I was doing a book signing at Tattered Cover in Denver, one of the great independent bookstores in the country. Michelle was there the next night in Pepsi Center. I drew 45 people to my book signing. She had 17,000 of her.
All right.
And I said, that's the new definition of overwhelming.
I think that book has been on the bestseller list since 2007.
It still is.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's dropped off now.
Yeah.
Because The Rock has got one.
I just promoted your book on our site on Facebook because something came up and I said, it's not too early to order your Christmas presents. Make a great gift for the sports fan in your life. And
well, bless your heart.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
It's still on Amazon. I know that.
Yeah. And it's not $3.99. It's not $3.99 yet.
No.
I hate to jump in here, but I got stitches that I got to get taken out here.
All right. Well,
I'm going to be sneaking out.
All right. Yeah. Give us 30 seconds. We're going to thank Vern for your time. I could talk to you all day, and we will. We'll set that up and have another conversation without the golf fans listening. Please give our love to Nancy and Danny.
We're having dinner with them tonight.
We said hello. He sends me texts and messages from time to time. We stay in touch, as does Tommy Sandoz and other people from that party from many years ago.
Yes, indeed.
Let me play a little music and get out of here. I always try to. We used to have a pre-recorded ending, but now BJ gave me this music to play, and I'm supposed to talk over it. But I never seem to be able to talk over it. Not only that, I can't even find it. There it is. Give our love to Nancy, and we'll check in with you this weekend and tomorrow. Don't forget to join us because we have Mike Mayone with his funny pictures, and Eddie Barbanel joins us from the movie The Ringer. It's going to be a wonderful interview. And our thanks to Vern Lundquist and to Matteo Rebecco and to
Marco Bolling
from The Athletic. It was a sports day here on the
Steelers.
Really big broadcast.
If CBS needs any voiceovers, I know a guy.
Yeah.
I hear you, BJ.
We love you, buddy. You take care. Give our love to Nancy.
Okay, I will. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. See you.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Thanks for joining us on the Really Big Broadcast. Almost. I'm no Vern.